Welcome to the Nonprofit Growth Show, presented by Nonprofit Megaphone, the podcast where we highlight nonprofit leaders in the trenches who share the strategies and tactics they use to grow their organizations and make a difference each day. Let's dive in.
Hi, I'm Joe Whipple, and you are listening to the Nonprofit Growth Show. Amanda Perla is here with me today. Amanda is the Client Services Coordinator and Ambassador of Next Step Orlando. Amanda, thank you for joining me and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is my pleasure. So you have a pretty unique personal story and tie to Next Step Orlando, and that is potentially the reason why you make for such a great ambassador. Would you mind sharing with our audience a little bit of background as to your story and the origin of Next Step Orlando?
Sure. So I grew up around where our facility is now in Altamont Springs. And I was just your, you know, average kid and teenager growing up. But I was like a dancer, and I danced competitively for 11 years. But then during my senior year of high school, unfortunately, I was a passenger in a really bad car accident. And in the car accident, I broke my neck at the C6 level, which paralyzed me initially from the neck down, although I was able to regain some function. So I am now paralyzed technically from the chest down. But after the accident, I had to spend like 6 months in inpatient rehab. And they really just taught me how to adapt to living life in a wheelchair, but never really wanted to try to help me get better, which I found really frustrating. And then especially when I came home and started doing outpatient physical therapy and felt really, really limited then in the goals that they set for me, for not just like my independence, but for my recovery and for my future. And just coming from such a competitive and active background, I couldn't just like sit around and let my body waste away. So my mother and I started researching alternative recovery options for people with spinal cord injuries. And that's when we found Next Step out in LA. And we decided to make a trip out there. We raised a bunch of money. And spent the first time that we went out there, I believe we spent like 6 weeks there. But the first day that I was there, they stood me. And it was the first time that I'd stood in like 6 months. And I just knew right away that this was the aggressive exercise based recovery program that was going to help me. And yeah, I just fell in love with it. And I never wanted to leave. But we, of course, had to come home at some point. So I begged my mom to open up a facility here, and her always wanting the best for me and doing everything in her power to make that possible for me, was able within 2 years to open up Next Step Orlando.
Wow. She sounds like a superhero.
Pretty much.
Wow. That's so amazing. So you had mentioned early on in that story that the immediate care you got before going to Next Step LA was just getting accustomed to living life in a wheelchair versus getting better.
Right.
I myself am not super familiar with that lifestyle in either scenario. So can you dive in a little bit into what the difference between that is so that I can better understand the organization and what you guys are doing to make a difference?
Sure. So especially in inpatient rehabilitation, it's more, you know, like a hospital setting, and every day you have like physical therapy and occupational therapy. And it is important in those first few months to get that kind of therapy where they are just teaching you how to adapt and how to live life in a wheelchair. Being a quadriplegic, my hands, my fingers and hands don't function. So relearning everything from like brushing my teeth to feeding myself brushing my hair to dressing and just like learning. So in inpatient rehab, their main objective is to take you through all the daily living activity skills that you would go through in life and reteach you how to do that from a wheelchair. Whereas a recovery program like Next Step is using exercise to hopefully regain functional movement. So it's not teaching you how to brush your teeth or how to make a sandwich or how to hop a curb in, you know, outside. Instead, it's like more of a gym setting, but all of our trainers have education in exercise science and kinesiology, and then have been trained specifically with neurological disorders. So it's adaptive, and it just really, our program just really utilizes an aggressive exercise program to promote recovery, not to just sustain life in a wheelchair.
Right. Gotcha. So then the real game changer there, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that that next step, that really specialized quality of, you know, this is what's next in your life. This is, we want to focus on exercise, not just your mobility in a wheelchair and being able to function, but we want to improve your state as well. Is it that that's not offered after you learn these basic functions in a wheelchair? Is it that it's incredibly expensive if you usually want to pursue something like that? So what you guys have been able to do is put together a nonprofit to provide an affordable solution for people who've suffered from various injuries?
Yeah, it's both. Unfortunately, like once in the traditional therapy setting, once you've reached all the goals that they set for you, they may not even be your goals. They just kind of cut you off, and you're only given like as many physical therapy sessions as you were if you were to like break an ankle in a car accident, as if that's anywhere near the same.
Yeah, holy smokes.
Right. So you're cut off pretty quickly, and then it's just like, all right, well, good luck. And then so on top of that, when you want to pay for physical therapy beyond that out of your own pocket, it's incredibly expensive. So unfortunately, we do still have to charge for our services here, but we try to make it the most affordable to our clients, and we try to provide them with resources for grants. And we also have a very small scholarship program here as well. So it really is just to try to improve the quality of life of our clients.
I think that what you're doing is better than nothing. I think oftentimes people who work with or for nonprofits that provide services at cost are quick to say something like, you know, unfortunately, we still have to charge. But I feel like you're kind of undermining the value. It's like, this is such an incredible service that you're doing for others at a rate that is so much more accessible and affordable and specialized than most people could probably ever dream of. The fact that you even have it in the first place, you provide scholarships, there's grants, you're doing, it seems like whatever it takes to help is really the important message within that.
Yeah, and all of the training is one-on-one, so you're always with a specialist. You're never left alone, and it's all done outside of the wheelchair as well, which is my favorite part of it, actually, because you just kind of feel like a normal, natural human being again, being taken through a training session that you would at a gym, and it's just a really positive atmosphere as well. The trainers and other clients are all super encouraging and supportive of one another. So you never feel embarrassed or discouraged here. It's very, very positive and encouraging atmosphere.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear. It sounds like it's a bunch of like-minded people with similar goals coming together to to kind of do good or improve their state of living?
Yeah, we have a lot of people that were just like athletes before. And, you know, like it is that our clientele is mainly people that were active beforehand and just like me wanted more for out of their life after the injury and wanted to be challenged more and not be so limited in the goals set by other people and not themselves.
I see. So then in your time with the organization Next Up Orlando, I think it was founded in 2009. In your time since then, how much have you seen things grow internally, or what are some of the things that you guys are doing quite differently now than you were originally?
I would have to say that our biggest thing is that we have officially been accepted as a community wellness and fitness affiliate of the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation.
Congratulations.
Thank you. If you're not familiar with Christopher Reeve, he is like the original Superman that was paralyzed in a horseback riding accident, and he just became a huge advocate for paralysis and for a cure, and along the way for basically what we do here, which is activity-based therapy is what we call it. And they have created what they call the Neuro Recovery Network. And so we are now a part of the Neuro Recovery Network, which is a huge milestone for us. The Dana and Christopher Reeve Neuro Recovery Network is successful because all of the activities that they train our staff to do with clients is based off of research. The two main components are gait training over the treadmill and electrical stimulation. And just over the years in collecting data using those two modalities, specifically the most, they've been able to gain a lot of research and just prove how beneficial exercise-based recovery is to anyone. I mean, exercise is medicine, I say all the time, and we're not meant to just like sit in a wheelchair all day long, and we don't want our bodies to conform. And so we just want to give them the best chance at recovery. And if that cure is to ever come around, we'll be the best candidates for it.
So when I think about your organization, I think that there's got to be some intensive costs involved in, you know, running your operations on a daily basis, whether that is having these specialized trainers, whether that is having a facility that is, you know, wheelchair friendly and accessible for people with people who are quadriplegic or whatever might be going on physically, whether that is the equipment that you guys have purchased, and then in thinking about your clientele or your target audience, it seems like it's very niche that you're targeting people who have, you know, a variety of injuries, and it's really expensive. What do you guys do to fundraise or to supplement some of this with grants or support from different foundations? And how does that relationship building look from your organization?
So our biggest way to fundraise is through events. We have two main fundraisers each year. The first one being our charity golf benefit. And the second one is our walk and roll-a-thon, which is a really amazing event that is not just to raise money, but also to raise awareness throughout the community. We ask people to come out and to walk around the lake, and around the lake we'll have different various facts about paralysis and just to walk for those who can't, to raise awareness. And then we ask them all to sit and we roll out a red carpet, and our clients walk down the red carpet however they can, whether it be with a walker, with their trainer, whatever assistive device that they may need. And it's a really, really just great visual and a way to show the progress and the dedication and determination of our clients. And then throughout the year, we'll host other little various events as well, whether we just did a scholarship fundraiser a couple weeks ago at a local restaurant. We'll do spirit nights. And then we also have a grant writer that is always looking for different grants to help with, yes, all the costs of the organization. And we try to enter competitions as well. A couple of years ago, I got the chance to go up in front of like 400 people, and I had 2 minutes to tell my story, and there were 9 other contestants, and then the room had to vote on a winner, and I was able to win $20,000 for Next Step Orlando. So just always,
wow,
yeah. So just trying to continuously tell my story and share with them how we're trying to better the lives of the people in our community living with paralysis, and not just our community. Our facility is actually like international. We get clients from not only just all over our country, but from other countries as well. So just the more that we feel people know about us, then the more we can help fund and provide our clients with with more help, basically.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that makes sense too. You know, the more you raise awareness by default, hopefully, the more people are going to get involved and help with resources, whether that's volunteering or donating money, anything to that extent. Now, when it comes to those, you know, fundraising events, whether it's your golf outing or your walkathon, what specific marketing or advertising tactics have you found very successful to bring people in outside of maybe just the families and friends of your clients? Or do you primarily rely on just family and friends of clients in those events?
We do rely heavily on family and friends of clients, but we really try to make our presence known on social media as much as possible. We're on like as many different platforms as I can possibly think of, and just try to push it through that as much. And we also just try to like physically go out and let people know about our events, because I feel like sometimes when they can see me, they can better understand. So just like going out and visiting the different, whether it be restaurants or local businesses, and just asking them to come out and participate and get involved. So those are our 3 main ways: family and friends of clients, social media, and just like us physically going out and trying to make it happen.
Yeah, I just hopped on your on some social media profiles. It looks like you guys are really impressive when it comes to your events and everything you guys are up to. It's really cool.
I try to keep everyone informed through social media too, just about like progress of the clients here. We try to share their stories and just like kind of document what they have done over time with us, and just keep our audience updated about everything that's going on here from day to day.
So with your role as ambassador, what is the most challenging part of that position for you?
I think the most challenging part is just like how personally connected I am to the organization. So I take everything to heart, and when we can't help a client because of financial reasons, or because they don't have transportation, or because they don't have a home health aide to get them here and their parents are working or their spouse is working, it kind of really weighs on me, and it makes me really upset, because I just want to be able to help everybody that's in the situation that I'm in, because I know what it's like and I know how hard it can be. And so that's really I just like not being able to help every single person that comes through our door is the toughest part.
I feel like some other nonprofits can relate in the sense of just the frustration of wishing you had more resources than you do. I wish I could help every single person who was ever affected by this disability or who was ever affected by abuse or starvation or homelessness. In your situation, being personally affected by what your organization is taking on, what would be some advice you would give to others to combat the frustration? What do you do to look forward versus dwell maybe on not being able to reach everyone?
That's a good question. I think I just try to really focus on the success that we've been able to have in our organization. I totally agree with you. I think people get into nonprofits because they're passionate and they really care about people and the cause. So, I think I just really try to focus on what good we can do and try to just continuously educate myself and, just bring myself to know how we can better it and how we can help more people and reach out to more people, even doing something like this, like a podcast, just to let more people know that we're here. And so that's what I would say, just never give up and just keep trying to push your name out there as much as you possibly can, because the more that people know, I think the more that they will care too.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's some wonderful advice, Amanda. So I want to change this conversation a little bit and steer it towards you personally as we wrap things up here, if you don't mind, with some rapid fire questions.
Sure.
All right. Starting with, if you could describe yourself in one word, what would you say it is?
Passionate.
Passionate. And this is one of my favorite questions, although sometimes it's hard to answer. What would you say your superpower is?
I think just making people feel comfortable. Like they've known me forever.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good superpower, I must admit.
intimidating here sometimes.
It can be intimidating, you say?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, just here, I think some people come in and are like super overwhelmed and not
sure. Oh, yeah, with the environment and
yeah,
gotcha.
And they might be intimidated. So I think that I'm good at like making them feel at ease and like that they can be themselves.
I see. Nice, nice. And what is something that you appreciate now that you didn't appreciate 10 years ago?
Well, if you were to say 13 years ago, the list would be endless because you don't realize how much you take for granted until it's all gone. 10 years ago, that is it. Oh, there's so much.
Yeah, I feel like with your story, this list would be way longer, even just 10 years ago, than probably everyone else's. I think your perspective, I don't want to speak for you, but I would imagine your perspective on life dramatically changed after the accident.
Yes. And then just repeat, say it again one more time for me in whole, because I might be able.
Yeah. And if you want to do 13 years ago, that's fine. The question was, what do you appreciate now that you didn't necessarily appreciate 10 or so years ago?
I'll say my family. Because even though my mom's always had my back and done everything she could do for me, I don't think that I really was able to look at the big picture and appreciate not just everything that she's done for me, but that my family has done for me in this crazy hard situation that I've been just kind of thrown into.
And lastly, and I just thought of this one, so it's not so rapid fire, but I feel like it's fairly common to, I don't want to say have been directly affected by somebody who has been paralyzed or has had a spinal cord injury or any accident along those lines. But I would say that it's common to come across people like that throughout your life, whether it's friends and family or whether it's somebody you've just recently met. Is there a piece of advice you would give to somebody like myself to just give us a little insight into, you know, what there is that we can do in those moments, whether we want to be there for somebody or kind of how to treat a situation when in the presence of people who are quadriplegic or paraplegic?
Yeah. So I say this all the time too, like the disabled community is like the largest there, because we're of all races, gender, age, and especially spinal cord injury. It can happen to anyone at any time, at any moment. It doesn't matter how old you are, what color you are, if you're male or female. But the thing is that we're all human. And so I would just say, just treat them as if they were any able-bodied person that you would meet, just like they're anyone else, because that's all we really want, is just to be treated just like everyone else.
I had a suspicion there that was going to be the answer, but I wanted some insider information just to make sure.
You were right.
Well, Amanda, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on the show. Before you hop off, where can people either connect with you or learn more about Next Step Orlando?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So feel free anytime to visit our website, nextsteporlando.org. But I am also super active on Facebook, which you can find us at Next Step Orlando. Twitter is at NextStepORL. Instagram is at NextStep_Orlando. And we actually just joined TikTok as well. And that's at NextStepOrlando.
Nice. You know, I just recorded a podcast right before this. And after the recording, my advice to her was that they needed to get on TikTok. They're missing a huge
platform right now.
Potential audience. So wait, what did you say your TikTok was? I got to write this down so I can follow you.
It's at Next Step Orlando. We just got on, so we're just gaining some traction. But like I said, I'm always posting some really great videos of our clients and our staff and just things that we're doing and trying to help.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Amanda. Again, I really appreciate you taking the time to join me today.
No, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to let people know about Next Step Orlando.
Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Growth Show, presented by Nonprofit Megaphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend or giving us a rating or review on your favorite podcast network. We appreciate your support. Until next time.